in the dark. There were other boats from the other beaches going out to sea, and the old man heard the dip and push of their oars, even though he could not see them now. The moon was below the hills. Sometimes someone would speak in a boat, but most of the boats were silent except for the dip of the oars. They spread apart after they were out of the mouth of the harbor, and each one headed for the part of the ocean where he hoped to find fish. The old man knew he was going far out, and he left the smell of the land behind and rowed out into the clean early morning smell of the ocean. He saw the phosphorescence of the gulf weed in the water as he rowed over the part of the ocean that the fishermen called the Great Well, because there was a sudden deep of 700 fathoms, where all sorts of fish congregated because of the swirl the current made against the steep walls of the floor of the ocean. Here there were concentrations of shrimp and baitfish, and sometimes schools of squid in the deepest holes, and these rose close to the surface at night, where all the wandering fish fed on them. In the dark, the old man could feel the morning coming, and as he rowed, he heard the trembling sound as flying fish left the water, and the hissing that their stiff-set wings made as they soared away in the darkness. He was very fond of flying fish, as they were his principal friends in the ocean. He was sorry for the birds, especially the small, delicate, dark terns that were always flying and looking and almost never finding, and he thought the birds have a harder life than we do, except for the robber birds and the heavy, strong ones. Why did they make birds so delicate and fine as those sea swallows when the ocean can be so cruel? She is kind and very beautiful, but she can be so cruel. And it comes so suddenly, and such birds that fly, dipping and hunting, with their small sad voices are made too delicately for the sea. He always thought of the sea as La Mar, which is what people call her in Spanish when they love her. Sometimes those who love her say bad things of her, but they are always said as though she were a woman. Some of the younger fishermen, those who used buoys as floats for their lines and had motorboats bought when the shark livers had brought much money, spoke of her as El Mar, which is masculine. They spoke of her as a contestant or a place or even an enemy. But the old man always thought of her as feminine and as something that gave or withheld great favors. And if she did wild or wicked things, it was because she could not help them. The moon affects her as it does a woman, he thought. He was rowing steadily, and it was no effort for him since he kept well within his speed, and the surface of the ocean was flat except for the occasional swirls of the current. He was letting the current do a third of the work, and as it started to be light, he saw he was already further out than he'd hoped to be at this hour. I worked the deep wells for a week and did nothing, he thought. Today I'll work out where the schools of Benito and Albacore are, and maybe there will be a big one with him. Before it was really light, he had his baits out and was drifting with the current. One bait was down 40 fathoms, the second was at 75, and the third and fourth were down in the blue water at 100 and 125 fathoms. Each bait hung head down with the shank of the hook inside the baitfish, tied and sewed solid, and all the projecting part of the hook, the curve and the point, was covered with fresh sardines. Each sardine was hooked through both eyes so that they made a half garland on the projecting steel. There was no part of the hook that a great fish could feel which was not sweet-smelling and good-tasting. The boy had given him two fresh small tunas, or albacores, which hung on the two deepest lines like plummets. And on the others, he had a big blue runner and a yellowjack that had been used before, but they were in good condition still and had the excellent sardines to give them scent and attractiveness. Each line, as thick around as a big pencil, was looped onto a green-sapped stick so that any pull or touch in the bait would make the stick dip. Each line had 2 40-fathom coils, which could be made fast to the other spare coils, so that if it were necessary, a fish could take out over 300 fathoms of line. Now the man watched the dip of the three sticks over the side of the skiff and rowed gently to keep the line straight up and down and at their proper depths. It was quite light, and at any moment now the sun would rise. The sun rose thinly from the sea, and the old man could see the other boats, low in the water and well in toward the shore, spread out across the current. Then the sun was brighter, and the glare came in the water, and then as it rose clear, the flat sea sent it back at his eyes so that it hurt sharply, and he rowed without looking into it. He looked down into the